Paul Harnett recently towed the line at the London Marathon in ski boots. Paul crushed the existing ski boot marathon world record by over 20 minutes, finishing in a time of 5 hours, 30 minutes, and 27 seconds. When he's not breaking world records, Paul spends his time working as a surgeon in London, England. He is a hip fracture specialist and often sees patients who have hip damage from running. The irony of this is not lost on Paul. Running 42.2 kilometers in ski boots significantly increases your chance of sustaining an injury, but Paul is someone who throws caution to the wind and just gets it done. Paul has so far raised 7,000 British pounds for the British Paralympic Association. And if you had a good chuckle at how fun this story is, or were simply inspired by his tenacity, consider making a contribution at www.skibootmarathon.com. Hope you enjoy this episode. You're listening to The Habit Podcast. Paul Harnett, welcome to the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I'm talking to you all the way over in London, England, correct?
Correct.
Now, I feel like you might be the most famous person that I've had on the show so far, and we're going to get into that in a bit, but why don't you tell us...
You must have had some pretty famous people, pretty unfamous people on the show.
Very, very, very unfamous. Most of them are my friends, so they're total softballs. They're like, they come right across the plate. I don't really have to do any research or anything. I can just talk to them about stuff.
Right on.
So, but you, I'm actually a little bit nervous to talk to you because, you know, of your recent accomplishments, which are just, I can't wipe the smile off my face. But first, before we go there, I just wanted to congratulate you on the birth of the royal baby, Archie.
Archie?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard his name, but now I know.
Yeah, Archie. Well, we're way ahead of you over here in the Commonwealth of Canada.
The capital.
Yeah.
The Commonwealth of Canada.
And actually, I'll put a picture of this on the Instagram account that we have for this podcast. I'm currently drinking out of my Meghan Markle and Prince Harry Royal Edition coffee mug that has their pictures on it. Isn't that great?
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. You don't sound as excited as I thought you'd be.
Well, you know, it's exciting times in Windsor.
It is. And so is it a big party over there with the birth of a royal baby? Usually they get a good party going.
Yeah, they do. It's all over the front page of all the papers.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of crazies in Windsor who are all hanging out and watching. Something like, I'm not sure if it was a Windsor Castle or Buckingham Palace, they have this old school thing where they announce the birth on like a placard. And they write it on a piece of paper, and they post it in the paper. And they still do that as the official way to announce the birth of the new royal baby.
So kind of like they would have in the old days when they didn't have internet and stuff.
Before Instagram.
In the old days, so like 5 years ago.
Back in 92.
Yeah. Paul, I haven't really introduced you properly yet, but there's a little bio that'll run, you know, before we actually start talking. But I think we'll cut right to the chase here and just tell people what you did last weekend, which in my mind is one of the most extraordinary accomplishments that I've ever heard of. And that's that you set the Guinness Book of World Records record for the fastest marathon ever run in ski boots.
You got that right. These days I just leave out the Guinness part. I just say it's a new world record.
Well, yeah, that's what it is, I guess.
It's a new world record.
Yeah, and so...
And 22 minutes faster than the previous record.
Now, as amazed as I was to hear that you did this. I was more amazed to hear that there was somebody who has also done it, that there's two of you who are completely batshit crazy.
Three, I think. The first guy, about 3 years ago, did it in 8 hours and something.
8 hours?
He was a cancer survivor guy.
Wow.
He used to like skiing. So wow. He was the original guy. And then some guy did it last year. And I knew he'd actually run like the Marathon des Sables, so he was no slouch, I think. But I saw, because they have some article, because I ran the London Marathon last year, trying to break 3 hours, but didn't quite make it, it was a hot day. And so they had some article, all the records that were broken last year, and I saw this guy who'd done it in ski boots in 5:52. So I thought, you know, I can do that. I can totally do that. As you do. That has got my name written all over it.
It really does, Paul. I said to you before that I think this one accomplishment in your life kind of sums up everything about you. Like, if there was a Wikipedia page about Paul Harnett, which there might be, it could be summarized with one sentence, and that is that Paul Harnett, world record holder for a marathon in ski boots.
Exactly.
I think it kind of sums up everything I've ever known about you and thought about you in the most endearing way. It really is. It's a compliment.
You've been so excited. One of my friends saw me on the race run, and the timing chip, I strapped it to the side of the Velcro at the top. I didn't strap it to the ski buckle. Thought, you know, they might undo or break or something. But turns out timing chips in ski boots, they don't get along very well. I had very people looking out for me on the ring, including my wife and kids and things, and they had no idea where I was. So when my friend saw me, he was so excited, and he's like, oh my god, world record holder, world record, world record. He's running along next to me. And normal day to day, he's this like high flying hand surgeon to like famous people with hand injuries and things.
Oh my god.
On this day, he was over the moon.
Wow.
I saw him at like mile 18.
Yeah.
So, you know, like kilometer 30. It was a good day.
Now, what was the time that you ran?
5:30.
5 hours, 30 minutes. So what does that what's that average per K? You must have known what you had to hold.
So I totally like ran the pace. So in my training, I was doing like 7 minutes per K. I ran a 2:18. That was my PB for half marathon or so.
Mm-hmm.
I ran like a 58-minute 10K.
Wow. You ran a 58-minute 10K in training in ski boots?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know people that can't break an hour for 10K without ski boots.
So that was all pretty good. And then, the first half I decided I was going to go 7:15s. I did about 30Ks at 7 minutes per kilometer.
Okay.
And that was kind of too tough. Mm-hmm. And then I had a really long taper for a few weeks. And so I'm going to go 7:15s for the first half. And then I was going to drop down to 8:15s. And I kind of just made up the 8:15s. I had no idea. And that was going to get me in at about 5:25. And so I had another sort of 20 minutes of some sort of total disaster, like a broken something.
Yeah.
I was a bit nervous.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I maybe I can speak to why you were a bit nervous, because you, as a professional in your work life, you are a surgeon, and your specialty is hip fractures. Am I right with that one?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and so you've actually worked on people that have fractured their hips in the London Marathon.
Yeah.
And so what were you thinking? Strapping on ski boots and running.
That was my biggest worry, was a femoral neck stress fracture.
You know,
that's like a life altering. You'd never run another 10K, probably ever, if you had a femoral neck fracture. And you'd have a good chance of needing a hip replacement if you had that.
And do you think wearing the ski boots increased your chances of acquiring such an injury?
I'm like, you know, stress. And then you see people, I even seen people like in my clinic privately, like any sort of hip pain, you get an MRI scan, just, you know, privately, people can get MRI scans within 3 days. And so they get an MRI scan and it lights up and says, and it gets reported as some bone stress reaction something. And some people call that, radiologists call it a bone stress fracture. And they're like, oh my God, it's fractured. So they come to see me and you're like, well, it's not really fractured. It's just a little bit injured. And so they do nothing. But, and that was just from a normal, you know, normal sedentary couch potato trying to do their running for the first time. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So any sort of hip pain. So even like running on the race on the day within the first couple of kilometers, I started to get a bit of mild hip pain. I thought, fucking, oh my God, I'm going to look like such an idiot. If I
Paul, I can't tell you. The irony if you had, you know, got an injury that was in your specialty because you did something as ridiculous as running a marathon in ski boots.
Everyone was telling me it was just a stupid, crazy idea.
Yeah.
And then you kind of think, you're like, maybe I just don't listen to people.
Well, I can tell you
like,
from...
Your, like, definition of not listening to people is every... And even when I was running the race, you know, like, all the thousands of runners passing me and patting my back going, you're crazy, man, you're crazy, you're crazy. And you're like, I wonder when I'm ever going to listen, but...
Yeah, yeah. Now that brings up a good point. How was your reception throughout the race? People must have really got behind you because, I mean, if I was out watching a marathon and I saw thousands of people go by and then this guy in ski boots, I would just, I don't know what, I would go crazy. I would be so excited that this was a thing.
Lots of people swearing, like, oh my God, it's crazy! Ski boot guy!
Yeah, the ski boot guy.
Like the London newspaper and across my t-shirt, I had like my website, skiboomarathon.com.
Yeah.
That was my fundraising website. So it's like £7,000, which is like 16,000 Canadian dollars or something.
Oh, it's like 100,000 Canadian.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Maybe not now because of Brexit and everything. Maybe we're on par.
Yeah.
So the crowd.
It was pretty loud, too. Like some of the parts of the marathon was a bit quiet. So if you're running down like a residential street or there are high, and you could hear the kuklunk, kuklunk, kuklunk. And then like towards at the end of the race, I was like passing this guy who was on his cell phone, mobile as we call it in London. And he's like, yeah, I'm having a pretty bad race. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely having a bad race. Some guy just passed me in ski.
Oh my gosh, that is classic. I love that.
I think there were 40. So I think I came 35,000, and there were 42,000. So I beat 7,000 people.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Actually, I don't know what's more impressive, that you got the world record or that you beat 7,000 people.
Yeah.
Now, is it true? I heard a rumor that somebody also did it in figure skates.
So she started. We were like in a marquee tent. We could look it up. So we, of all the crazies at the start, we had our own Guinness Book of World Record attemptees. And so we were in the Guinness and there were some pictures. And there was a girl starting in figure skating skates with the rubber. So not like the blade, but she had the rubber thing on.
Right.
And Guinness people told her, they just made up a number of 6 hours, 30 minutes. No one's ever done it before, but yeah, they still gave her like a official time limit.
Oh, wow. And do you know if she made it?
I don't know. I think not, because I haven't seen it, but I haven't seen mine yet. It hasn't been published.
But I saw you. I saw a picture of you holding an official certificate that has.
Yeah. So I. One is when they finished, they gave me the certificate, and then two is, because my timing chip didn't work. There was an article published by them, like within the first 12 hours or something, and it said these are the 18 records that were broken, and I wasn't in it. So I had various Facebook things going, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
But then they said to me, as long as you upload your Garmin watch Strava data,
yeah,
we'll verify it. And so they verified it. So I had to wait until the Wednesday
Wow. So you telling me that if you didn't have your Garmin on, they wouldn't have been able to verify that you actually did this?
Correct.
So they don't have, like, just old school, like, this person started, this person finished? Like, it has to be electronically filed?
Well, so because my timing chip didn't work. So everyone else has it on their shoelaces.
Well, I understand that, but it wasn't so long ago that we didn't have timing chips. So they don't have, like, an old school way of just having a photo of you at the start. I guess not. You could take a subway like that woman did in at the Boston Marathon years ago. Yeah.
So I was thinking, I was like, so as soon as I finished, I'm like, okay, because my friends told me, like, your timing chip's not working. I'm like, I don't know. So I started to, like, as I ran past some of the timing things, I tried to, like, drag my foot, like, lower to the ground. But then I started to cramp up. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Wow. So you mentioned that there was a whole kind of group of you trying to set world records. Do you remember any of the other people aside from the person wearing figure skates?
There was someone who's running the fastest as a panda bear.
That's a thing? You can be the fastest marathon as a panda bear?
Fastest marathon wearing a full body suit. Full body costume. So she had to have, like, her head covered.
Oh my gosh.
She ran like a 340.
Okay, wow, that's pretty good.
So she wrote an article in The Guardian, and she mentions me. She's like, there I was at the start with the ski boot guy.
I think next year you should try and get the world record for dressed up as a panda bear wearing ski boots.
Yeah. Then there's a guy all over the BBC and things, because I think maybe dressed up as a monument or something.
A monument?
He dressed up as Big Ben. and Big Ben was probably like 12 feet tall.
No way.
And then, it's all over there. And then the finish thing, it's just at the finish, the timing, like, ceiling was only maybe 10 feet. So then he tried to bend over and he couldn't get it over. And then he had to have, like, three people, like, do, like, the limbo of Big Ben under the finish line. Oh, and it was all over the BBC and the press. They called this hilarious. Big Ben could actually cross the finish line.
Oh, my God. That is amazing. What else? Do you remember any others? These are hilarious.
There was one. So I was in there. But she decided to dress up as a nurse.
Okay.
And then in, like, 6 weeks before, because you have to send your official. And I had to do it too. I had to send pictures of my ski boots and make it all official. And she sent just as scrubs. And they said, sorry, no, you have to have a nurse's, like, skirt and a nurse's hat. And she thought, screw you, I'm just running in my scrubs because she was actually an NHS nurse.
Right.
And then, and the record was 309.50. And she got 309.20. So she, arguably broke the record by 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then very, very smart, she said, and then that went into the press going, everyday nurse actually got refused because she wouldn't wear old 1920s nurse's costume. When is Guinness going to wake up and conform to modern times?
You're kidding.
And then Guinness changed their mind just today. Said, we're sorry that we banned you before, because, and then one of the reasons that they said sorry, your scrubs outfit is too similar to fastest marathon dressed as a doctor. and so they refused her for that. But now the vice president is a woman of Guinness and said, we wholeheartedly apologize, and you are now the world record holder for running in a nurse's outfit. Scrubs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The world is going crazy. It's so funny.
Good.
So can you just...
So I have to have official ski boots.
Yeah, I was going to say, so can you just tell about, like, how does this process even start? So you get it in your head that you want to do this, but what steps did you have to take to apply to do this?
So you go online.
Yeah.
And then you say, and you go to the website, and you have to make your own, like, login and ID and things and what you want to apply for.
Okay.
So I think one of my first questions was, what are the specifications of the ski boots?
Right.
And then they come back saying, so there has to be ISO 5355. And they're like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
And so you Google ISO 5355. And then even the guys in the ski boots are like, yeah, that means that it has to be plastic bottoms on the sole and the feet.
Right.
It fits into a normal ski binding.
Right. Right.
So ski touring boots.
Right.
Where it's like rubber on the bottom and you have to have those funky ski touring prong bindings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not allowed.
Right, because that would clearly be quite a bit easier to have a more flexible boot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they're lighter and has rubber on the bottom.
Right.
So the ski boots I had were hybrids. So you can actually take the bottoms off and be rubber, or you can take the bottoms off and put on normal ski binding boots. So
right.
They have to fit into normal ski bindings. But they had a walk mode.
Right.
And they were the lightest, most flexible
right.
yet.
Did they have
past the standards?
Did they have a run Technica. Did they have a run a marathon mode?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I got a picture. Maybe I can even do it right now.
Don't do it now. You gotta send me a couple pictures though so I can put them on Instagram so people can see.
Right now,
huh?
So the soles of the boots were brand new.
Yeah.
When I started the race.
Yeah.
And then by about two thirds of the way through, I realized that they had worn out, and you could sort of feel and hear the screws grinding on the tarmac.
Yeah.
Like clack 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 clack. Clack. So.
Wow. Now what are you gonna do with those? Does Guinness want those like as a to put somewhere, or are you just gonna like frame them and put them in your house?
The bottoms are changeable, so I think I can just take them off and put on the new ones, and then.
No, why would you ever do? Why would you ever do that? Why aren't you framing these things? This is something that you need to hand.
I might just sell them as memorabilia to the ski boot shop.
No. You need to have a little shrine. These are things you need to hand down to your children.
This is true. I got the certificates.
Yeah.
Guinness Book of World Records certificates.
No, don't get rid of the boots, dude. You'll regret it if you get rid of the boots. You got to keep the boots.
Okay.
Yeah. Or.
They're pretty comfy ski touring boots.
They need to be like memorialized somewhere, like maybe the ski boot shop or you know a pub. The pub you go to. You got to have them at the pub.
This ski boot shop, they specialize in fitting people for long distance running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're running shoe and ski boot fitting specialists. So
right.
I'm like, I am your perfect specimen.
You're the poster child. They should have a big cardboard cutout of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
I'm flabbergasted. Can you, Paul, talk to me a little bit about the training regimen that you had to undergo for this?
So my previous sub-3-hour marathon is just based on doing like those three or four runs a week,
mm-hmm.
and which included, you know, an interval training. So I was doing Yasso 800s. My previous just in normal shoes. And then a tempo run, and then a long, slow run.
Right.
And then I just thought, I'll do that in ski boots. So I did some Yasso 800s in ski boots.
What's a Yasso 800?
Right. So, it's this guy, we looked up, so he says, if you want to do a 3-hour marathon,
yeah,
you need to do 800 meters in 3 minutes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then scale it up. So I was like, well, I want to do a 5.5-hour marathon, so I'll do an 800 meters in 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you do more and more, but it's mostly just my long, slow runs.
Mm-hmm.
In marathon training, they're like, oh, you should never do anything more than 2.5 hours, 2-3 hours. But I just, so a half marathon was 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went up to 3 hours, and so I just went up incrementally every week. I started off 10Ks, then 12, then 14, then
mm-hmm.
16, 18, 20, 21, 24, 28,
yeah,
and then 30. The 30K, that was the I like, and I was particularly masochistic, so that I did an out and back.
So yeah, there was no way to get out of it.
I was like, my wife's like, "Where are you? You need to get home." I'm like, "I know, I'm trying, but I can't run any faster."
And are you just running through the streets of London?
Well, some of the times I ran to work, so I like ran past Buckingham Palace, and at changing the guards, so there's like 1,000 tourists and things. And I'm like,
oh my god.
But you know, some people just didn't even, some people were like, "What the fuck?" And then other people like didn't even bat an eyelid. They're just like, "Yeah, yeah, whatever.
It's London.
Just some crazy guy in London running ski." It's just some weird thing in London. Yeah. And then around parks. And I worked out on a treadmill in the gym. And if you put it up to 10% incline, that's pretty similar to running in ski boots.
Oh, so you didn't wear the ski boots on the treadmill.
Didn't wear the ski boots on the treadmill.
You might get in trouble for that one.
And then the other was, I worked out that, I've never done a 5-hour run before. Like, why would you ever run for 5 hours? So I had in my mind that I had to go for a five-hour run. I was like, this is going to be, and I just wanted to do it in running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like a 55K run. Like, fucking hell, I'm doing a 55K run. Like, shit. And so, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, doing a normal day's work, be like, I'm a bit nervous because, you know, on Sunday morning, I'm going to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and go for a 55K run, as you do.
Yeah.
So, you, like, had, like, my gels and my bars and my music and battery. And I just, you can, in London, you can just get onto the Thames.
Yeah.
And you can just run and run and run and run and run. And they just had the heart rate run around 150s and then turn around and come back.
So sorry.
And then I had
did I hear you right? You did a 55K run in running shoes and training?
Yeah. Just I woke up one morning at 5:30 in the morning or 5 in the morning. And then my friend came and met me for the last 20K and he's all like chatty and talking and he's like, "How's it going?" I'm like, "I'm pretty fucked, man. I just ran like a marathon."
Oh, Paul. God, I love you, man. You're the funniest dude. One thing I want to ask you, and I've always admired this about you. I feel like if people have something they want to do or a challenge, there's all this inertia to get going. So people in their head might think they want to do something, but like it's really hard for them to get going. Whereas you, like, ever since I've known you, which is since we were about 14 or something, this has not existed for you. If it pops into your head, it's like you just go do it. What is that? How do you overcome any inertia that's stopping you and just go do it? What's your mindset?
Well, a little bit with this, you have to save face. I kept telling you so many people. I'm training for the ski boot marathon. Like, that's fucking crazy. When you tell so many people, then you really have to, like, you have to do it.
Dude, that is the best answer. That is the best answer because it's so not pure. I thought you were going to be like, "I focus and meditate on the Zen." But no, it's just because you have to say,
like a loser.
You don't want to look like a loser. You have to save face. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, but you know what I love about that? It's a very honest answer. It's a very good one.
Okay.
I think we're usually more accountable to other people than we are to ourselves.
Yeah, especially when you've got the website called skiboomarathon.com.
Hey, Paul, just one more thing.
But ultimately,
yeah.
Here's your cheesy, corny stuff. Was you know, my boy, my 8-year-old boy, I want to know that if you want to do something, you can do it.
Yeah.
So he knows his dad's a world record holder.
Yes.
And he can do the same. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah, and I believe you when you say that. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool. And as I said, this is why you have to keep the ski boots. And one day, like when he's like in coming into adulthood. You need to present him with these ski boots.
I'll keep the ski boots. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Love it.
Just lastly, Paul, I want to touch on the fundraising part of it, because that was a big part of what you did, and you raised no small amount. It was very impressive. Can you talk a little bit about how much you raised and what you raised it for?
Yeah. So I suppose normally sometimes you're like, oh, I feel a bit of a scam, like just ask, because to get a London Marathon place is pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. If you go through a lottery, there's like a 1 in 10 chance of getting a place. But if you go through a charity, and so normally they ask you to raise £1,000.
Okay.
And the British Orthopedics, so my sort of, there's like 1,000 British orthopedic surgeons, and they do research in hip and knee arthritis, and they have spaces. And so last year I raised like, I don't know, £700 or £800 or something. But basically I was just trying to break 3 hours and I got a place. So mm-hmm. And then so I got my place, and so I raised money for them, and they do some good work. But then I also thought, kind of crazy related to skiing, British Paralympic Association, and so I kind of randomly chose them.
Yeah.
And I you know, they suffer, and they just do crazy stuff and go, like, you know, skiing down with one ski, mm-hmm. but they just do it. And then they actually have pretty good media coverage and output and things, so that was pretty good. So yeah, we've raised £7,000. And so yeah, pretty much every person I kind of know, your mom included, mm-hmm. Through Facebook and things, all donated these £5, £10, £20, and then even just some totally around the rent, just completely random people I've never even met before.
Yeah,
just suddenly donating like £50. One of my patients' mum donated money. Some guy I met at the marathon fair.
Yeah,
donated money. So just I suppose what the other, I was trying to mark. I said, you know, if this feat or accomplishment made you smile or smirk, then you owe me at least a fiver.
Yeah. Well, I definitely do. So. On that note, so it went to the Paralympic, the British Paralympic or the UK Paralympic?
The British Paralympic. So they're getting ready for Tokyo and Beijing Olympics.
Yeah. And I saw a great little interview with you that one of the TV stations did, and you were talking about that, and I thought what you said on there was just so great, and that, you know, they could have limitations, but they just get on with it, and that was part of your inspiration. I really like that, because I think that kind of spoke to how you just got on with this thing, and I like that was a source of fire and motivation for you.
Yeah. If you go on YouTube and go skiboomarathon.com, or mm-hmm. skiboomarathon on YouTube,
yeah,
and that takes you to that link.
Yeah,
that little 1 minute montage thing.
Yeah, it was great, and he even had you running up some stairs like Rocky.
Yeah. I think maybe they didn't have the like copyright to the Rocky music.
Right, I'm sure they didn't. I could do it for you. No,
yeah,
I won't.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Can people still donate? How do they do that? Is it possible?
Yeah, just skiboomarathon.com. And click on it, it goes to.
Okay.
For sure. Love it.
And does that ever?
If this made you smile or laugh, you gotta donate.
Yeah, we owe you some. Well, it sure did, Paul. I just love it, and I want to thank you for your time. You're all the way in the UK, so we're heading up on midnight. You just got back from the pub watching a football game, I think.
Totally, Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Tottenham, like, scored. They're going to the finals.
Yep.
Of the European Championships.
Yeah.
Miracle comeback.
Amazing. Well, that's exciting.
Really good.
What's up next for you? Got any other world records you're going to try to attempt, ideally in ski boots?
No, I think I'm going to, for now, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
Yep.
But that sub-3-hour marathon, you're going to be my coach next year.
We're going to do
2020.
It. 2020. Yep. Let's do it.
London Marathon 2020, sub-3 hours.
I love it.
Because now, you know, if a 3-hour run is piss.
Yeah, totally. Easy.
Exactly.
So, buddy, this has been great. I thanks so much for your time, man. I think people are gonna love this. Great hearing your story. And if you ever get up to anything else crazy, let us know. We'll get you back on the show.
Love you too, buddy.
Okay, man.
See ya.
Bye. Bye. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Habit Podcast. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at The Habit Podcast, where you'll find pictures of our guests and teasers about upcoming episodes. Until next time, thanks for listening.